Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And you can take us on the go wherever you are with the Odyssey app. You can also watch us right now on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. Going to get back into the Masters right now. Jason Sobel, host for the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM, joins us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. What's up, Jason?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Are you still in Augusta, or are you back home yet?
I am somewhere, I believe, still in Georgia, not home yet, but not in Augusta anymore.
Mm. Where do you live in Florida?
I live in Orlando, yeah.
Okay.
Jason's very big on where you live, where
yes,
you are.
We all are, yeah.
He gets right into it.
Well, because I knew he was in Augusta because I was listening to him, and he was on the practice range. Was that yesterday? I think you were on the practice range.
Saturday, I was at the tournament practice area. If you call the range, they kick you out.
They kick you out. Right.
Tournament practice area. Nah, that might be exaggerating, but you got to use the proper terminology there. But Saturday, I was there. Sunday, I was doing our four-hour featured group show from inside the press building.
Gotcha.
I saw you tweeted, Scottie Scheffler is inevitable. Can you kind of expand on that? Is it just he's just leaps and bounds better than everybody right now?
He is. I wish I had some great analysis for you on the Monday morning to break down exactly, you know, why Scottie's playing well and what it means. He's just really, really good. He's better than everybody else right now. And, you know, I think I learned more from the players who didn't win than from the one who did win over the weekend, because I've been doing this for a long time. I always, it's usually my job to speak with the other contenders in what they call the flash area, essentially the interview area by scoring when they walk off the 18th green, and talk to the players afterwards. And it's usually very emotionally charged. After being in contention for 4 days at a Masters and not winning, players are usually a bit teary-eyed. Their voices are cracking. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. You don't get that many chances, and they know that they just gave one up. Speaking with Max Homa and Colin Morikawa and a few of the other players who are in contention, there wasn't that sense yesterday. And I think it was because Scottie Scheffler is just so good that they all sort of throw their hands up. They're like, yeah, I actually played really well. Max Homa's like, I didn't really make any mistakes. I got a really bad break on 12, but I didn't really make any huge mistakes. I played pretty well. And yet Scottie went out there and extended the lead and just basically gave everybody else the Heisman. And so what I do see from those other players is all of them saying, I kind of know what I have to do now. I have to work harder, and I have to get better, because if I don't, I'm never going to beat this guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jason, you tweeted this an hour ago at Jason Sobel Golf, and it's pretty remarkable. The Scheffler futures at BetMGM right now for both the PGA and the U.S. Open, he's at plus 450. For the Open Championship, is at plus 600. And already for next year's Masters, he's at plus 500. Like, that's pretty crazy that those odds are still so low for him, but you wouldn't feel comfortable taking anybody else to these next upcoming tournaments other than Scheffler, would you?
No, and that's going to be the narrative in golf betting over the next 3 months, I think. And I obviously cover that side of the industry these days. And what we've seen until Scottie went on this run about a month and a half ago was a ton of parity on the PGA Tour. In fact, there was a narrative over the first two and a half months of the season that we had all long shots. There wasn't anyone shorter than 40-1 who had won a golf tournament. Now it seems like Scottie Scheffler is just going to win every single time he plays. It makes betting on the game very interesting because do you want to play Scottie Scheffler at a short number like that? Not really. In fact, I had a hard time recommending Scottie this past week, as much as I liked him, at plus 400 going into the Masters. And yet, you don't really want to bet on anyone else either because he's Scottie Scheffler and he's that much better. It is a complete catch-22 right now. And I think it's going to continue being that way until Scottie proves to us that he's not as good as he is right now, which I don't see an end coming anytime soon.
Jason, we were talking about Scottie's last 2 years and his top five finishes. And if you just kind of go through the results, I mean, the number of top five finishes is just, it's stupid.
I don't know,
Tiger probably played less tournaments in his prime, but, and I'm not comparing Scottie to Tiger. I mean, we'll never see another Tiger, but the fact that he has so many top fives, I don't understand it. I mean, golf's not that easy and he makes it look that way. And they were talking about it on the coverage yesterday on CBS that Scottie just he just avoids the big mistakes and he lets everyone else below him make those big mistakes, kind of like Tiger did. Tiger would be very conservative and he just wouldn't make the big mistake. And that's kind of the way Scottie plays.
There's no doubt. Look, okay, a few things here. First of all, I won't compare Scottie Scheffler to Tiger Woods. I don't think that's fair to either one of them. That said, Scottie Scheffler is without a doubt the most dominant men's player in golf over the last 15 years, I think, since Tiger Woods was in his prime. Secondly, Tiger Woods had the greatest ceiling we've ever seen in golf and probably ever will see in golf. If you want to say that Jack Nicklaus was, quote-unquote, the best or the GOAT because he had 18 majors and Tiger fell short of that, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I think it's disingenuous to believe that Tiger wasn't the most dominant, didn't have the highest ceiling. All of that said, I'm not so sure that Scottie Scheffler's floor isn't higher than Tiger's was, even in his prime. And what I mean by that, for those who don't consume gambling content, who don't really get the concept of ceilings and floors, it means that, okay, when Tiger had his A game back in the day, Tiger's A game was going to be better than everybody else's A game. He was going to win if he had his best stuff. Scottie Scheffler's A game is really, really good right now, but Scottie Scheffler's B game, and quite honestly, that might have been what we saw this past weekend with Scottie Scheffler's B game. That might not have been the best that he could play. Like you said, he did play a little conservative. He was trying to be patient throughout the entire weekend. Scottie Scheffler's B game is miles better than everybody else's B game, and that's why he's got so many of those top five and top ten finishes. Even when he doesn't win, he's right there at the end of these things. It's a testament to how much he works, and it's a testament to how good his average stuff, how good his quote-unquote bad stuff really is, because his bad stuff is better than most guys' good stuff.
So, Jason, we finished, you know, Sunday was a little softer, right, little quieter conditions. We had some better scoring. But, I don't have a historical knowledge of this. I just know from watching as a fan. I can't remember last time only, like, eight guys finished under par, right? Really tough conditions the first 3 days. Where does this sort of stand up historically? Like, when have we had other masters this tough?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing last night, and I started doing the research because I think there were 25 guys who broke par for four rounds last year. And then I looked at 2022 when Scottie Scheffler won that year as well, and I think there were only nine guys that year. So you don't have to go back too far to see a very similar year, similar for a few different reasons. Scottie winning and not too many guys under par. There may be a direct correlation between the two of those things. So we've seen it in the past. Look, Mother Nature is going to be the greatest determinant of scoring. We know Augusta National. We know what the course is. We know where all the traditional hole locations are, especially on the weekends. It's going to be determined by the wind, which we had a ton of over the first two rounds. It's going to be determined by how fast and firm the golf course is. And I thought, even though it was a little bit softer yesterday, it certainly was not easy scoring conditions by any means. And so it's going to play tougher, and we're going to get scores that aren't so far into the red numbers. But I thought it was a terrific Masters. Yes, did look a little bit like a U.S. Open at times with the scoring so tough on the leaderboard. But again, that's just based on the conditions.
All right, Jason, we'll talk about Tiger after this, but I want to ask you about Rory. He's had a bad year. All right, last year he obviously had a lot of stuff on his mind. You could probably use that as an excuse, but this year he's had a bad year. Results-wise, Friday's round at 77 kind of eliminated him here. Clearly, Augusta's in his head, but his play just isn't good, especially with his short irons. I mean, I couldn't believe how many wedges he was missing greens with. And I don't know if you've watched the Netflix Full Swing, but he kind of questioned his game in that, and that was last year. He was questioning it to his coach and his caddy. What's going on with Rory? Is it simply in his head, or is it bad mechanics? What is it?
So, two different things. As far as his game overall, you're right. The wedge game is not very good. It hasn't been good for a long time. I don't know how a player of his caliber can't fix that. In fact, he's driving it so good. What we've found from the advanced analytics these days is that there's no longer drive for show, putt for dough. It's the long game is the most important thing. Scottie Scheffler is the best player tee to green in the world, and that's why he's winning all these golf tournaments. He's a very average putter by the numbers, and yet he can still win being an average putter. Rory McIlroy has been far and away the best driver of the golf ball on the PGA Tour this year. He's not only hitting it long, I think he's second or third in distance, but he's in the top 20% in accuracy as well. That's pretty much unheard of for the big hitters, and the fact that he's not turning that into good scores is pretty remarkable. I don't quite understand how and why he hasn't figured out that wedge game, but until he does, he's not going to start winning golf tournaments. And I will throw out that you're absolutely right about him in the Masters. It is absolutely in his head. He has tried everything, and I give him credit for I'm going to treat this like the most important thing in the world. I'm going to go and make three scouting trips beforehand and try my best. Then he's going to I'm going to treat it like it's just another tournament, no big deal. This past week, he played the Valero Texas Open the week before, didn't show up until Tuesday, played a quiet little nine-hole practice round by himself on Wednesday. He was the last player in the field to register for the tournament. Okay, I'm going to slow play it. Not a big deal. And that backfired as well. So, look, again, I give him credit for it. At least he's not just banging his head against the wall and trying to do the same thing year in, year out. But I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what the next thing is to try. But that window is absolutely closing a little bit every year for a mid-30s Rory McIlroy right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have to talk about Tiger. He's always the needle. He's always the guy that everybody wants to kind of keep an eye on. And for the first 2 days, I thought it was rather remarkable, especially that Friday round, even par. You know, he's like in 22nd place, whatever he was. He was right there. Yep. And then I know that – see, I differ a little bit because the narrative is, you know, body just breaks down. He can't handle it. And I think there's some truth to that. I don't think it's all of it. I think part of it is just like reps. Like he hasn't played tournaments. Like,
sure.
Like I think it's endurance more than it is, oh, his leg is killing him, you know? And there's a little bit of Tiger that, listen, I think he's the most fascinating player. He's my favorite athlete to watch. But he does annoy me with, you know, he has a double bogey and all of a sudden he's limping. Or, you know, they makes a birdie putt and the guy, he's sprinting off the green. You know, there's a little, like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve a little bit, you know? I don't think he's broken beyond repair yet. It's a long way of saying those first two rounds are very encouraging. I think the bigger point was getting through four rounds. He did that. I just wish he'd play more. He doesn't have the reps.
I will put it this way. I am more optimistic about Tiger's short-term future right now than I was at this point a week ago. He had only played 27 holes of competitive golf going into the Masters. So you're right. Does he need reps? Absolutely. But this is sort of one of these catch-22s. He needs more reps, so he has to go play more, but he's not healthy enough to play more, so how does he get the reps? I don't know how you fix this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Tiger quite knows. I loved his mentality. I asked the question on Friday afternoon after we knew he would make the cut, and I asked him to sort of reflect on 24 consecutive made cuts, the record at Augusta National. What does it mean to you? And I thought Tiger might use that to wistfully walk down memory lane a little bit. He said, what it means to me is I've got a chance this weekend, just got to go out there and, you know, put up a couple of low scores.
Right.
I actually give him a lot of credit for not just going, yeah, well, made the cut. That was what I was trying to do this week. Now I'm done. It was, how can I go out and win this thing? How can I get a six-green jacket? Look, I learned a long time ago, never bet against Tiger Woods. Never say he can't do anything, because I'm not sure a lot of us necessarily envisioned 2019 ever happening when he won the Masters that year. So do I think he's going to come back and win again? No, but again, I'm more optimistic right now about his game. He played four rounds. Parts of the game look good. He was right. He said yesterday, I wasn't that far off from the 66. Tom Kim shot a 66 yesterday, right behind him. He said, I wasn't that far off from it. I watched every single swing yesterday, and I can confirm, like, I know, yeah, okay, that's what he shoots, 73, 74, like, or actually a little bit higher.
77,
77, sorry. I know that saying, you know, just a little more, and I could have been 11 shots better. I know that sounds like something you or I would say when we're out playing with our buddies, but it really wasn't that far off. It could have been much better. He left every putt dead in the heart, about 6 inches short of the hole, did that time and again throughout the entire round. What does it mean going forward? Probably not a whole lot. We love asking players, you know, what did you learn about yourself during this round? And I'm not sure Tiger necessarily learned anything about himself this week, other than he can go out and play four rounds. Now he just has to play them better.
Real quick, what did you make of Jason's day's outfits?
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible, but you know what? We're talking about it. We're bringing up Jason Day's outfits on a Monday morning, which is probably exactly what they wanted.
Well, there's two factors there, Jason. First of all, it's the horrific designs, which I guess over in Korea or Japan or wherever the hell it is, people are buying this stuff up. Okay, that's fine. I think the designs are horrific. But the other part is the fit, this whole baggy thing. They're trying to go back to a baggy thing. My guys are telling me that, you know, baggy's in, and then I'm a year behind the curve. Are we going to go back to old pleated baggy? I can't do that. I can't do it.
I'm with you. I threw away all the pleated baggy stuff like 20 years ago, and I'm not going back. I can't do it. I think it looks ridiculous. Jason Day played golf at Augusta National this past week, carrying his sunglasses in the pocket of his cargo pants. I don't even know what to say about that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then they made him take off the sweater, yeah. Right? They asked him to?
Yes, they did. He said that at least after the round. At least it was strongly suggested that he not wear a sweater that had Malbon Golf Championship, which isn't a real thing, by the way. That doesn't exist. But he had a sweater saying Malbon Golf Championship, almost looking like he was promoting another golf tournament while playing in the Masters. That's a bad look. Come on, Jason.
How much are they paying him? I know every manufacturer wanted him when he left Nike. Why'd he choose him out? They must be paying him an outrageous amount.
I believe it's pretty high-end stuff. I mean, even if it looks a little different from everything else, I believe the stuff's not cheap. And so they look at it as, we get Jason Day, they're getting a ton of pub, like him or hate him, even if 95% of the public is like, that stuff looks terrible. If 5% of the golf public looks at it and goes, looks pretty good on him, I want to try that out, they're going to do really well in the marketplace, so maybe it's worth it.
Hey, Jay, will Scheffler play at the RBC, or will this be the one signature he just misses?
According to his dad last night, he is still in the field and is going to play. We were sort of on baby watch this week. Scotty told me on Saturday evening, if Meredith called him at some point before the final round, his wife, who is 8.5 months pregnant, he would leave. He'd withdraw from the golf tournament and leave. I'm not sure that was ever really in danger. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but that's at least what he had been saying. So the fact that he's going to go now that she's going to be 8 months and 8.75 months pregnant, going into the RBC Heritage, he says he's still playing. We'll see what happens.
All right, Jason. Good stuff as always. Always love having you on. This is Jason Sobel.
Thank you, buddy.
Host for the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM. Thanks, pal.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Coming up at 9:45, your chance to win tickets to go see Aerosmith, the Peace Out Farewell Tour with the Black Crows. 9:45, your chance to score some tickets for that. Right now, though, we open up the entertainment page, which is driven by BMW Fairfax.
That's right. Driven by BMW Fairfax, he may not be the most interesting man in the world, but my guy, Mike Walker, over at BMW Fairfax, has no interest in charging you interest. 2.99% on most X-Series models for a limited time only. Find out more at BMWFairfax.com. But more importantly, go over there, test drive a vehicle, ask for Mike Walker. He'll take care of you. They'll treat you like a rock star. You will not regret it. Trust me. Mention me. That'll help you out. All right. A lot going on, actually, but I think we are sleeping on the fact that Drabby is flying to Spain.
Yes, today. We are.
Tonight. Yeah.
Were you aware of that?
I was aware, but I had
no idea.
He told me a few times where he was going, and I kept forgetting. I was like, where are you going on vacation? He's like, you clearly don't care about me because I've told you, like, multiple times that I'm going to Spain. And
I had no idea. I don't know.
So, yes, I knew he was heading to Spain. I slept on the fact that it was today.
Is he flying on Span Air for free like Jason did for his honeymoon?
He is not.
So, Drab, you care to update people? You are flying to Spain today with your wife. You're meeting your parents who are already there.
Yeah, my parents have been there for about a week. You know, they're retired, so they fly on this, or they go to these Marriott vacation clubs all over the world or all over the country. Mm-hmm. And so they've wanted, my parents are obsessed with tennis. They play tennis every single day.
Right.
And so they've wanted to go to Malaga.
Okay.
Or however you say it in southern Spain.
I think you
Malaga.
Nailed it.
Is it Malaga?
I think it's really Dravy's sure. pronunciation,
Malaga.
But I could be wrong.
I have no idea. I'll let you know.
All right. Okay. Yes.
So they've been there for about a week, so I'm meeting them there. We're going to be playing a lot of tennis, maybe going to some. My dad keeps sending me, it's kind of weird. My dad keeps sending me photos of like signs that say topless beach here.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird bit from your dad.
Creepy bit.
He sent me something on a family text chain.
Topless.
Okay, my dad sent me something on a family chain of that picture and it said something for the boys.
It's kind of bizarre.
Right.
Would be really weird is if you guys all as a family. And your mom and your wife were topless.
He's already told me that like, 10 to 20% of the women are not wearing tops.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So look at you.
Look at the twinkle in his eye.
Trust me, it does throw you because I saw that in Aruba years back and you're not expecting
right.
it. And that was like on a regular, like just a regular beach. It wasn't just like nude beach.
I will say that my wife and I went to Spain in April as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got married in December, but we went on the April honeymoon. The weather is not. It's not going to be like 85 degrees, I don't think.
No, it's like 70.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like here.
I think.
Mediterranean climate.
I think today's supposed to hit the 80s, right?
Today is here. It's supposed to be 80.
I'm going
to
check your weather report.
But anyway, Drabby's flying to Spain. So are like all your siblings going? Is like a big family thing? No.
I latched on. This is my parents' trip. I called him like 2 months ago.
And he said, hey, can we meet you there?
No. I said, they were talking about, and I said, he said something about a 2-bedroom suite. And I said, well, who's going with you? And he goes, nobody. I said, so the second bedroom is just free?
Right.
And I go, why didn't you invite me? And then he goes, do you want to come? And I go, yeah, of course. And so I bought our plane tickets, and I'll have a free place to stay.
Oh, that is sweet.
Beautiful.
You're smart.
Yeah. Now, by the way, your weather looks great. It is highs of 70s, like mid-70s, and lows in the high 50s all week.
Kind of like here.
No rain until Sunday.
I don't understand this. Drab doesn't like seafood.
I don't have no idea.
Is it Spain?
No, tapas. We're doing big
a lot
on tapas.
Of small plates.
I can't remember what I was eating.
It's the tapas region.
So, but the thing that scares
and topless region.
The thing that scares me is just the flights, the trains, planes, and it's just going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. My biggest concern is what movies to watch.
Right. But I checked on the safety of your aircraft from here to Dublin. You're on an Airbus. I think it's the A321, newest in their fleet.
Those are big,
beautiful.
Yeah, but I like that. A nice experience plane.
I like honestly. I tend to like new and non Boeing division. Like lately,
most things are Boeing.
So you're flying into where'd you say?
Dublin.
Flying 7 hours into Dublin.
7 hours Dublin.
You're going to wait 2 or 3 hours there.
Layover and then
fly,
and then to Malaga.
What is it, like 3 hours? To
something like that.
Yeah.
The most tilting part is that I've waited my entire life to play on the red clay of Spain.
Yeah.
And my wife, and we've been married all this time, never plays tennis.
Right.
She's going to play tennis for her first time on the red clay of Spain.
I mean, she's... Hey, it's hardly playing tennis if she doesn't play tennis.
Well,
she's
going to
swing at the ball.
Yeah. Well, she'll post for Instagram. Yeah.
Right. Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the story. Did you see who won the Masters lottery for the media?
Did not.
It's a sportscaster out of Augusta, and she's never played a round of golf in her life, and this is her first time playing golf. Is going to be Augusta. Or the media lottery.
She needs to give that away. Yeah. I think that was the debate, right? Whether or not she would give it away. You can't go.
Why? She won it fair and square.
I know she won it fair and square, but so she wouldn't appreciate it.
Hit a couple balls and pick it up, walk the course.
Okay, you could do that.
Or
why don't you give it to one of your colleagues that actually plays golf and would actually enjoy it?
Well, the colleague didn't win. She won.
She did win. It's her right.
It's her right. She didn't have to do anything.
How many nights in Spain, Drab?
7, I think. I don't know. I think I come back next Tuesday.
Gosh. All right.
But the time zone
is this your first time to Europe?
Yeah, I had to get a passport and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it already.
You got your passport later than I did. Look at you.
No, I went to Jamaica and everything. Okay. I
hate the when you got to go through customs and all that. Just
I'm not.
Just think of me when you're miserable. Because I'm just like, I literally throw tantrums in line. I can't handle lines.
Why can't you get beyond that and focus on the happiness of the 7 nights?
Because he's like me. We're just very negative people.
No, I don't like to be negative. It's just that I don't like to just stand there and do nothing. It's hell. Stand there, do nothing. And just wait and wait.
Well, it'll be over with eventually.
Eventually it will be over. Eventually.
Drabby, there were two towns that we went to that I recommend. Now, I don't know how far they're going to be from where you are. It looks like Toledo, like Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
All the way to Toledo. It's not Toledo. It's Toledo. That was one. And I believe Sevilla was the other one. So if you can somehow take a day trip, won't take a day, Toledo and Sevilla were very cool, old Spanish towns.
Do you guys have a rental car?
You mean Seville? I think that's a big city. Is it a big city?
No, it was small. I want to say it was called Sevilla.
Anyways, I'm going to
I'm looking
Spain
at the map
today.
Right now. I can't find it.
Well, I hope you have a good trip. Are you going to be tweeting like cakes, like of your water shoes and everything?
My wife told me I have to take a bunch of photos of her and get mentally prepared.
Because she wants the whole IG experience.
I think so, yeah. But she's super excited. And it's her birthday.
Right.
So
happy birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
it's a big
birthday.
Week for us.
Billy Joel, I guess they on CBS cakes, I didn't realize this, after the Masters, after the Masters, I turned it off.
Right.
Billy Joel, though, had his 100th concert of his residency at Madison Square Garden televised.
Yep.
But they had to wait a little bit because the Masters, you know, the coverage ran a little long.
Mm-hmm.
Toward the end of the show, apparently, he was performing Piano Man, and a bunch of networks cut off the show, pissed off all the fans in his most iconic song.
Mm. Like, why would you cut that off?
They had to go to local news.
You can kick the local news down the road.
What time was this?
You need to hear the end of
Piano Man. It must have been probably like 9 to 11 or something. Okay. I don't know. Mm. Whatever the hell it was.
God forbid I don't look at my traffic and weather on the 8th.
Isn't that time all just hard stamped for local news? It's always hard stamped, I thought.
I don't know.
It's what it seems like.
And like, I don't think you are allowed to cut
it. You can't make an executive decision to stick with the Billy Joel hit?
No, I don't think you're allowed.
They say there's no need to get into the weeds, but one of the sports directors in Tampa said there was a special report after the Masters, and it wasn't accounted for, and that's where they kind of got into a tough spot. They did it in Fort Wayne. They did it in Tampa. They just kind of did it all over the country, and they're getting crushed all over social media for cutting off Billy Joel in the middle of his most iconic song.
Yeah. They botched
the closer. We talked about the Golden Bachelor when it was on, just because that was kind of a funny idea, like have these old farts in there and like the dream suites and all that.
Fantasy suites.
Fantasy suites.
Speaking of Viagra.
The fantasy football suites.
Well, the Golden Bachelor couple is already done. Jerry Turner and Teresa are divorcing after just 3 months of marriage.
What's amazing, they actually got married, though, because a lot of these couples on The Bachelor, they're together for, you know, the whatever it's called, the rose after the finale, whatever they call the show after the finale.
Oh, what is that?
It's got a special name.
Oh, after the final rose.
Yeah, after the final rose. So they'll be together then. And then it's like, oh, this is the first time they can talk about their relationship
they
in public. And then 6 months later, they break
They're
up.
Always broken
so
up.
These ones actually got married.
Yes, got married. Only lasted 3 months. Some of the other contestants are now saying that they dodged a bullet. Apparently, it wasn't anything really. It was mostly just the
I
woman.
I can dodge
and
bullets,
how did they not
baby.
Reconcile this before they got married. She ended up, she just didn't want to leave her job and didn't want to leave her home. She didn't want to move. I think she maybe lived in Jersey or something. She just didn't want to move. And, you know, he wanted to move, so it didn't work. Caitlin Clark apparently made a surprise SNL appearance. Definitely a surprise for me because I never watched that show, Cakes.
I saw the clips. It was kind of funny. I guess, are we going to play some of it?
Yes, yes.
The University of Iowa announced that basketball star Caitlin Clark will have her jersey retired and replaced with an apron. Hold on. I think you're a great basketball player. I mean, I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well. The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University.
It's actually, it kind of made me laugh.
So cheesy. I can't do it. It's so cheesy. So did Ryan Gosling host this one?
Yeah, he was actually hysterical.
They said it was funny. Hey, this is what Lorne Michaels hates because he breaks character all the time. Mm-hmm, and then the whole cast started
laughing. Do yourself a favor and watch the Beavis and Butthead.
It's a great skit.
It's actually one of the
Where
funniest.
Where did you see it?
I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, online.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's probably one of the funniest skits I've seen
it's
in a while.
Very funny.
Beavis and Butthead.
It's hard for me.
With
I'm not
Ryan
a Beavis
Gosling?
And Butthead guy. But
yeah,
I'll
with Ryan Gosling.
I'll try.
Right. Watch it, Jason.
All right.
The Caitlin Clark thing, to me, the funnier part was it may be it's somewhat chauvinistic, but I guess Michael Che has been joning on WNBA and women's basketball for a long time. So,
right. So that's what
she made him read his old jokes. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. She was on there for like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, good for her. Hey, her star couldn't be any bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You watching the draft tonight, Cakes?
Why? I know Caitlin Clark's going number one.
Want to find out who goes number two and three. You're not a Cameron Brink fan.
I'll pay attention to it.
I'm watching the Caps tonight.
I know.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm watching
the
what
Caps.
What time is the draft?
Bruins.
8? I'm guessing it's 8.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm busy. Okay, I'm busy tonight. I'm busy tomorrow night as the Caps
we might
on the Flyers.
If they draft Angel Reese, we might be talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What where do the Mystics have?
6, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The most impressive thing about...
Yeah.
And then she showed it on like social media.
It's kind of weird.
The Mystics have the 6th pick. I had no clue on this. Let's see if any of you guys know this.
Know what?
How many teams are there in the WNBA?
I know this. I think it's 12.
I would have guessed 12.
12.
Yeah. But it would have been a pure guess.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Hey, good for them.
Mystics number 6.
All right. Well, I know we got a lot still on the show, but I do have more EP we can get to later if you guys want. I need to find out more about this Kendrick Lamar Drake beef.
Oh, you do?
I do. I'm interested in it. I'm interested in all like.
Yeah, you tell
beefs.
Me all about it.
I mean, I'm into that.
Diss track beef, Cakes.
Yeah, I'm into that.
All right, we'll be right back. So what's interesting about EB mentioning the diss track thing, I had a curiosity because I had seen online or somewhere that J. Cole had dissed a bunch of people, and then he did a no-no in the diss track world, Cakes.
What did
he
do?
He apologized for it, or he took it back or something like that.
I read something where he said it was the dumbest thing he ever did.
Yes.
But I thought he was referring to something from years ago. He was referring to something he just did a few weeks ago.
I think he did the diss track, and then a couple weeks later, he's like, ah, maybe felt bad about it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But then I saw that Drake fired back at him, and I just saw the headlines.
And him?
So,
I thought Drake fired back at Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kendrick Lamar. But I was...
I'm confused.
I just saw it, and this morning I actually went to Spotify, and I've never ever done this in my life. While I was driving to work, I put Drake diss track to try and find it, but I don't think I found the right one.
I'll never do that in my entire
life.
I did a search.
I'll never type in diss and then track after it.
I'm a Drake fan. I like a lot of his songs.
But I thought everybody liked Kendrick Lamar. Like, I thought everybody respected him and liked him. I can understand people goofing on Drake, but I didn't understand.
What are the shots at Kendrick Lamar?
This is news to me. When I saw it, I was stunned by this.
You were taken aback?
Yeah, I thought everybody liked Kendrick Lamar.
Your mouth was agape?
Yes.
You couldn't believe it?
So maybe if D Woods or somebody wants to tell us what's going on, they can. I got to know what's going on.
Every day I drive home, I get reminded of the fact that Wale signed with Def Jam. There's a big billboard as I'm driving home.
Where is it?
Heading out of D.C. off of 295.
I just look straight ahead.
You go that way. You've never seen the gigantic.
On 295, you said?
295 before you get to the B-Dub Parkway split with 50.
He doesn't pay attention to that.
I drive that way all the time when I go to the club.
There's a gigantic Def Jam billboard.
How long has it been there?
Probably for over a month.
Well, usually I'm just cursing the construction around there.
Right. And there's definitely that.
Yeah. And I also, I'm listening to a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, he's talking about attention to billboards.
You don't see your surroundings as you're
driving? No, he doesn't do that.
My wife threw away a plant that was in my kitchen for 7 years. I didn't know it was in there.
Okay.
All right. So Drake's song, this is why I put in the wrong title, and I just put a Drake diss track, and I didn't see it. It's called Push Ups.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a shot at his size. So he says, how the F you big stepping with a size 7 men's on?
He has ROM size hooves.
Well, because he's a little guy. Kendrick Lamar's a little guy, yeah. I think.
And then he goes on, he says, your last one bricked. You're really not on S.
So why? But yeah, but who started it? Kendrick Lamar must have started it.
I don't know. Might be stray bullets.
All right, quickly, I want to give you an update on the Maris situation. I know Jason gets a kick out of this.
Oh, yeah, what happened? So you guys played LIU.
LIU is like 6-1, 6-2.
Uh-huh.
Big winner.
Ooh, really? Nice.
Honed them. Beat them 15-7. All the seniors got in, like guys that don't play much.
Beat down city.
Last 7 or 8 minutes was ceremonial, practically.
And did you guys lose to LIU?
No, we hadn't played them yet.
Oh, this is the first time.
Right. Yeah, so we hadn't played them. So we had basically... We're in a spot, though, that we screwed up so many games earlier that we have to win now. So we're 3-0 since our backs have been against the wall. We got to win one more game, and then we're in. And that's Saturday at VMI.
Nice.
And it should be.
You got to go down 81.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to VMI, but I feel like it's like 4 hours
Lexington?
Away.
Is that Lexington, VA?
How would I know?
And
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think it'll be a war. I'm not going to talk trash. Mm-hmm. All the games in our conference are like that. Anybody can beat anybody. But it was an awesome game. One kid who'd been on the team for 4 years, hadn't played much at all, scored his first career goal.
Those are
the kind of moments when the whole stadium goes nuts. The guys go nuts. Really, really
cool
moment.
How many fans for LIU? Was it about 50-50?
I wouldn't say it was 50-50, but maybe 60-40. You know what I mean? Because anytime you... These New York schools, they're all so close to each other.
So if you beat VMI, you're in the conference tournament. You're in the MAC conference tournament.
Yes. And then we have to win 3 games, and then we'll be in the NCAA.
I feel like you guys got hot late last year, too.
Same exact thing happened.
Yeah.
The only difference is that team was a little bit more experienced.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm not predicting anything.
Bet you didn't know that Abe Lincoln called VMI the West Point of the South back in the day.
I didn't know that.
He did. I know that only because of Wikipedia.
Jason, I won't play it for you because I won't bore you guys to tears. But their announcers, I didn't know this until I got home. They did like a 2.5-minute shout out to me.
Really?
On the sideline.
Gave you props.
If you listened to it, it was the most over the top thing ever. It was very sweet.
They included you for 2 seconds in the video.
Yeah, they put a. I had to condense it The post-it. It was too long. It was so long.
Right.
They're just saying that.
Props to Mr. Bickle?
Well, just that, you know, I've been the photographer or whatever. Right, and right. then, you know, Stevie had just scored, and that's his dad right there. And then
that
was
good.
Crazy.
That's
it was cool. Really nice. Really nice. So check that out. I put it on my Twitter last night. I think the guy that does the play-by-play, Brandon Ross, I mean, he's a stud. He's a young kid, went to Syracuse. Been doing it for a few
he'll
years
be doing,
now.
He'll be working on ESPN.
I mean, if he How stays he? Committed to it, he's probably like 24, 25 right. now. I know he's also going to law school because, I mean, you can only do like college sports for so long. At some point, you know, if you don't get it, you got to have something.
Yeah.
But this, he shouldn't give it up. He's really talented.
Hey, since you're doing a little bragging, I didn't plan on doing this, but yesterday I went to the Quince Orchard Wrestling Banquet, which happened to be in my neighborhood's clubhouse. So I just walked to it. And I was walking to it with Isabella to meet. Dylan was there before. I'd gone last year, last like 2 hours. There was no real reason to get there super early for me. And my daughter says, is Dylan going to win an award? And I was like, I don't think so. You know, they only give away a couple awards. There's like an MVP award. But my son won. They're the Quince Orchard Cougars. Mm-hmm. He won the Cougar Award,
oh, wow.
which was voted on by the coaches and teammates.
Oh, wow.
For like best.
Props.
For like nice. Hardest working. I don't even know exactly. It was for like hardest working, best teammate, that sort of thing.
Very
so
good.
I actually thought that was cool because it was voted
cool.
on by the teammates.
100%.
And their team has like 40 guys on it.
Oh, that's a huge deal.
So it was very cool.
Very cool.
And I felt like I disrespected him on the way over. As I was like, he's not winning an award.
How were you to know?
I mean.
Well, it's because we never win awards. I never won awards.
Well, because, I mean, not to diminish what he's done. He's won his fair share of matches, but he's not one of the best.
Yeah,
he's
but
not
they always win the MVP. Try to reward the guys that are grinding and putting in the effort.
And he's gotten a lot better. He had never wrestled before his sophomore season. So
all right,
he's
I know we're backed up. We're going to get into, you know, Scottie Scheffler. But when we come back, can we take this call on the Drake beef? I just got to get to the bottom of it.
Sure.
Okay.
We got nothing but time.
I know Cakes is not interested. I just want to know the origin story.
Cakes would rather talk Scottie Scheffler.
And then we'll get into Scottie. Two of Cakes' favorite topics.
Drake and golf?
Yeah. Coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.